John chapter number 14. We'll read a few verses over there and just try to get right into the message today. And John chapter number 14. What a blessing to be here today. And I know everybody's had a busy week and a lot going on, and then a lot more going on top of what is usually going on. And you know, sometimes that makes it hard for us to get our mind upon worshiping the Lord and hearing the Word of God. But I pray the Lord would just meet with us today and give us what we need from the Bible and help us, be an encouragement to us. And I was going to, had one thought on my mind that I was going to preach on and had been studying about. And then yesterday morning, I know everybody already knows, but Miss Eulalia went on to be with the Lord. And, you know, sometimes the Lord changes your thoughts and changes your message. And I just wanted to come today and preach a little simple message on the subject of heaven. And I believe that'll help us this morning. I believe that ought to encourage us this morning. In fact, when I really get to thinking about heaven, I don't know why we don't preach on it all the time. We sing about it, not all the time, but I guess we sing about it more than anything else. But I'll tell you, it really ought to be at our forefront, especially in this day and time, with our loved ones getting older and going to be with the Lord, and then the shape of the world, the way that it's in. We that are saved by the grace of God, we, like Dr. Newland's sign says on the bypass, I don't know, or up on at the hilltop, I don't know how many of you seen it, but it says something like this. It says, days are getting better for Christians. I got a blessing out of that. Something like that. Days are looking better for Christians. And so I got a blessing out of that. I guess I'll call him and tell him. But anyway, let's read John chapter 14 and verses 1 through 6, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But the Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you, God, for all the blessings you've given to us. Lord, I want to thank you for, Lord, just letting us be here today. God, that we can come together and open up the Word of God and find that no matter what the newspaper might say today, no matter what has happened in our lives, Lord, when we look into the Word of God, we've still got hope for tomorrow. In fact, we've got what your word says, we've got a more lively hope. We've got a living hope. Lord, we've got a lot to look forward to as the children of God. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God would just minister to our hearts this morning. Open up our eyes, Lord. Let us see, God, what we fail to see and neglect to see sometimes. But, God, there's a better place. And, Lord, you've told us about it in your word. And God, we've got much to look forward to as the children of God. Lord, if there's anybody here today that has never been saved, or Lord, anybody that would hear this message by one way or another, Lord, that has never been saved, Lord, I pray you convict them and show them their great need of salvation. Help me, Lord, I need your help. I pray for that unction which only comes from thee. And I pray, Lord, we'd have great liberty in the Word of God today. You'd bind the devil that he'd not hinder. God, help us to get our eyes upon thee and upon greater things. We'll thank you for all that you do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen.
All right, let's just look in the verses this morning and ask that the Lord would help us as only we can. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture about heaven. That's what it's talking about. And that's what I want to try to preach on or bring out some things this morning about heaven. And as I was thinking about this, heaven, for the children of God, it's a home. It's our home. It's Jesus's home. Look here in verse number 2 what the Lord Jesus said about it. Now, he's talking to his disciples, and he's getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go away from them. There's a very, very sad day coming in their life when they see their Lord. When they see the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to see him crucified. They're going to see him buried. Their whole world is getting ready to fall all to pieces, and it does fall all to pieces. Do you know the Bible says about the disciples that when they saw him taken and put on trial and they saw him beaten and they saw him, the Bible says they all forsook him and fled. And so don't think that there's not going to be dark days come into our lives where it seems like our lives fall all to pieces and everything's out of its course, everything's not the way that it ought to be. But Jesus told his disciples beforehand, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house." Now, you know, any of us today that would say something like that, if we were to talk about our Father's house, do you know we'd be talking about home? We'd be talking about home. We'd be talking about the place that was more familiar to us than any other place. We'd be talking about the place that, you know, you get away and you get out of your normal circumstances, you get away from home, you get away from your family. And I'd say that just about every one of us here today, we've been through a time in our life where we got homesick. Where some of you remember what it's like. You know what it's like. Maybe when I think about being homesick, I think about being in basic training, 18 years old, being yelled at and fussed at, and young. I mean, you think at that time, well, I'm grown and I can handle things, and I'm a man now, but I'll tell you, you get away from mama and daddy and home and grandparents, and you can become very sick for home. And what you would love more than anything else is just to be home and to go back home and to sit around the table and from people that are familiar and love you and sit on the porch and be around those familiar surroundings one more time. And so Jesus, when he's talking to the disciples here, that's what he's talking about when he said, "In my Father's house," he's talking about home. He's telling the disciples here about his home. And do you know that Christians, really, we have two homes. When we talk about home, we have the home to us that is our home away from home. Now, you know, we use that phrase sometimes. We might move off somewhere. And we'll say, "Well, this is my home away from home." But do you know what? If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God, this is your home away from home. The Bible says we're pilgrims and strangers and we're passing through this life. Our life is as a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. This life that we're living in right now, this is our home away from home. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you have another home. You have an eternal home bought and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:13, he said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." We've got a home to look forward to. We have not been there yet, but we've got a home. That's an eternal home. It'll never pass away. We have a home to look forward to. And when you get there, you'll be more at home than you've ever been in this life down here before. We have two homes. And so heaven is not pie in the sky. Heaven is not some
fairy tale made up for weak-minded people to feel better about death and dying and things like that. Heaven is a reality this morning. And the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to make sure before their world fell all to pieces that they knew some things about home, His home, our home, heaven, the Bible says. And I'm going to point out a few things about it this morning. Number one, there is in this passage of Scripture, there is the promise of heaven. Look in verse number two. Jesus said this. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's a promise. We read on down, there's a promise that He went to prepare. And He said in verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Titus chapter 1 in verse number 2, the Bible said, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." Heaven is a promised place. And He told the disciples about this place. And you know, if we really believed in heaven like we ought to believe in heaven, why, we'd talk about it more than we do. And we would walk in a way that would benefit that place more than we do. And we'd long for that place more than we do. If we really, I know we believe in it. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in this world and the things of this world and the running to and fro and all of the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and all the things, we forget about heaven. And we don't put it at the forefront of our thoughts and our minds. And Jesus promised it, and it is a real, literal place. It's not an imaginary place. It's a real place. It has real people and real buildings and real sights and smells and sounds and things that you can touch. And all of this, heaven is a real place. And I know how people are, and they'll come along and they say, "You preacher, you really believe in all of that heaven stuff?" I believe that just as much as I believe in anything in this world. Just as much as we are real and this is real and I'm walking in a real world that we can see and feel and touch and smell, I believe heaven is a real place. A promised place. I don't believe that we float around on clouds and play harps and you know what you see on television commercials. I don't believe in that heaven, but I believe in the heaven in the Bible, in the Word of God. Too many times we view death, and you realize this morning I'm not picking on or pointing out anybody. I mean, my goodness, we all have experienced people in our lives that have died and they've gone on to be with the Lord. But too many times in this life we view and we talk about death like it's a ship that's sailing out of sight, and we've been down to the dock and we've waved goodbye and there they go. And when the ship gets out of our sight, we say, "There she goes, she's gone." But you know what? That ship's not gone. It's just as big as it was. It's just as real as it was. You and I may not be able to see it anymore. It may not be near us anymore, but that ship that has sailed is still, it's still there, and it's still as real as it was when we could see it. It's just our perspective is gone. And you know what? That ship that is anchored in the harbor there, that's not what that ship was made for to begin with. It's not made to sit in the harbor and be looked at and gawked at by you and I. It's made to sail. And you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're not made for this world. We're not made to live here forever. Thank God we're made to sail one of these days. We're made to leave this world and go to another world that's better than this world. There's no such thing as
is anybody that's saved by the grace of God. I mean, there's no such thing as being gone. They're just not here. It don't mean they're not living. Doesn't mean they're not enjoying. Doesn't mean any of those things. They're just not here. They're in heaven. They're in a real place. They're in a promised place. But thank God, they're not gone. They're not gone. Anybody, and I'll tell you, we've had a lot. We've had a lot over the past several years that have graduated from this life to the place called heaven to go and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not gone. They're not gone. They're just as alive. They're more alive today than they ever were in this life. But they're not gone. Heaven is a promised place. Heaven is a prepared place. Jesus said in verse number 2, He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Notice what He says. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Heaven is such a special place that the Lord Jesus told His disciples that He was going to go back to His Father's house where there were many mansions, and He was going to prepare a place for them. Heaven is a prepared place. You really get to thinking about that. God made the heaven and the earth, all we can see and touch, in 6 days. Spoke it into existence. But Jesus said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the Bible said, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." We've not seen it with our eyes, but God by Spirit reveals heaven unto us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he said, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face." Have you ever went up somewhere that was dark on the inside, or maybe the windows were stained or so old you couldn't see through them? And you know, you'll go up and you'll rub on the window and look and try to see, and it's hard to see. That's how heaven is for us. We see through a glass darkly. But every once in a while, the Holy Ghost of God will flick on a light on the other side, and we say, "Oh, I can see it better now. I can see it better now." I know my uncle said one time, he said, "I've never been to heaven, but God's let me peek over the edge a couple of times, and it sure is good. It sure is good." Heaven's a prepared place, and I've been blessed in my life. I've been to many different places. I've seen a lot of things, and I thank God for it. And it's all been in the service of the Lord. I have had an adventurous life, been to other countries, seen some of the greatest sights that there are to see and to feast our eyes upon. I've seen a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen anything that would compare with the beauty of heaven. I don't believe we could stand it. I don't believe we could stand it this morning if we could see what heaven is really like. It's a prepared place, the Bible says. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." I like that. You know what? Since it's a prepared place, that's why you don't have to pack anything. Praise God, I like that. Have you ever been invited to go somewhere and you say, "Well, I'm not ready. I don't have this and I don't have that." And it is such a great invitation that they say, "No, no, no, you don't understand. You don't have to bring a thing. We've got everything you need. You don't have to pack. You don't have to prepare a meal. It's all prepared. It's all ready. You just come right on. You don't have to worry about bringing anything. We've got it all." Praise God, what an invitation. I like that. Because I'll tell you, I hate packing. I hate moving. I hate gathering together. You say, "Oh, preacher, but there's something in this life I really like." Will it be there in heaven?
I've had people ask me all kinds of things. Will there be this in heaven? And will there be that in heaven? You know what? If God somehow said, all right, I'll let you bring something. I'll let you bring something with you when you go. Of course, nobody does. But you know what God would have to do? God would have to prepare a junkyard outside the gates. Because when you got there and you saw what heaven really was, you'd say, that don't mean nothing. I don't even need that anymore, because everything I need, everything I've ever desired, every pure and holy and righteous thing, it's all there. It's prepared for us to go. Praise God. What a place. What a place to go to that, I mean, you don't need to bring nothing. When I was in the military, we lived in England and we went to London several times. And, you know, all that stuff that's been on the Olympics and Big Ben and the Thames River and the London Bridge, you know, and all that stuff. I've seen all that stuff. I've walked across that bridge. We went down there one time and you go on a train and you travel on the underground. And we'd get a little map. We'd just go and see what we could find. I mean, we was young and boy, what an adventure. And we was going to go see Big Ben one time. And we found on the map where Big Ben was, and we got on the tubes there, and we traveled, and we got off at the right station, and we walked up the stairs, you know, out from the underground section there, and we was all looking around. We said, where is it? Where is it? And somebody said, look up. We come out right underneath that Big Ben clock. And boy, you look straight up, and boy, there it was. We was right underneath that big old clock. What an adventure for 18, 19, 20-year-old young people, and got to see all them things. And we went one time, and we saw the crown jewels. That's the jewels that the royal family, I don't guess they really own them, but they're sort of over them. And if you go see the crown jewels, I mean, it's gold. There is no telling how much all that gold and crowns that kings have worn hundreds and hundreds of years ago, and silverware and goblets and chains and coins. And I mean to tell you, boy, people walk through there licking their chops. But you know, you go down, down, down. It's all underground and you've got to go down. I don't know. It seems like forever. And then you're herded into this room and there's two rows or used to be. And you just got to keep walking. You don't even get to stop and look. Security is so tight to see the crown jewels. And so you're walking and looking and two lines of people, and it's all behind glass, and you can't touch it, you can't get near it, and no photography. It's just in my mind, that's all the remembrance that I've got. Can't take no pictures. But you know what? When we get to heaven, all that stuff, that's the furniture. Praise God, that's what you walk on. That's what the streets made out of in heaven is gold, so pure that it is it's see-through. I mean, I can't even imagine that. And 12 foundations of precious stones, and I'm telling you, that's what we'll eat off of over there in heaven. It's a prepared place. It's a beautiful place. We can't imagine it this morning. We can't even contemplate all that it is, all that it means. Kim and I, we went up to Cincinnati earlier this summer at Ethan's surgery. We were up there. And the Bible says, Revelation chapter number 21. In fact, go ahead and turn over there. The Bible says that the new heaven, the new earth, the new heaven is going to be a city. It's going to be a city. And that's one time that those of us that are country folk, and I've always said, I don't want to live in no city. But praise God, there's a day coming, there's a city that I want to live in. And I'm going to live in. And the Bible says that it's a city over there. And we were up in Cincinnati, and we'd go to the hospital during the day, and in the evenings, two or three evenings there, we stayed right on the waterfront. I wasn't expecting to stay. I didn't know it was so nice. It's a nice
city. And we stayed right on the waterfront. We stayed on the Kentucky side. And there's 4 or 5 bridges to go over into Cincinnati. And it's a beautiful city, especially at night. And where we stayed, we walked in, we looked out. You know, it's the first thing you do, you look out. And we was on about the 5th floor, and we could see the Cincinnati Reds baseball stadium. And all lit up. It's pretty. What do they call that? America's Ballpark. I didn't know that's where that was or anything. We just went up and looked out, and I said, right over there is that ballpark. And there's a hill over there on the other side, and lights and buildings and these bridges and the riverfront. And we'd get out there in the evenings, and we would walk around. And we'd walk up the Kentucky side, cross the bridge. I didn't feel like we was going to get mugged or killed or anything like that. It was nice. It was nice. Walk the bridge, walk down through there, everything taken care of, walk back across. And we went out one evening, and there was people everywhere. They were having some kind of, there's ball game let out, and there's some kind of concert in the park. And there's just people everywhere. And I told Kim, I said, you know what? I said, heaven is going to be like this, but there's going to be no sin. It's going to be the prettiest place you ever laid your eyes on. And there's going to be people everywhere, but there's going to be no sin. They're not going to be drinking. They're not going to be carousing. I said, it's going to be like revival all the time. And the music that you hear is going to be praise and the Lamb of God. And there's going to be a spirit of worship and praise and adoration. And everybody you see is going to be loving on one another and loving where they're at and loving what they're doing and just enjoying life. The Bible said the Lamb's the light of that city. Time shall be no more. Praise God. Rush, 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 rush. Go, 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 go. All the time. What if God took time away? And all you had to do was just praise Him and thank Him and serve Him and love Him and worship Him and all of those things. Praise God, what a day. What a day that shall be. When our Savior, we're going to seize what the Word of God says. But it's a perfect place. Look in Revelation 21. It's hard for us to imagine a place like this. But in Revelation 21:1, the Bible said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' He that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Did you see what's not going to be there? It's hard for us to imagine streets of gold and gates of pearl and furniture that we're not even allowed to touch or get near now. But I'm telling you, I can associate with what's not going to be there. Not going to be any tears there. The Bible says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death there, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Thank God there'll be no sin there. You won't have to look around and make sure there's some police nearby so you don't get mugged or robbed. And you don't have to worry about anybody accosting you or robbing you. There'll be no sin there. There'll be no death there. There'll be no funerals. There'll be no gravesite. There'll be no markers, memorials, all of that stuff. No more funeral lines to go through. No death. It's going to be over there. Praise God. There'll be no dying over there. There'll be no destitute over there. There'll be no homeless people on the street that's lost everything that they have. There'll be no drunkenness over there. There'll be no dementia over there. There'll be no none of this. What we're going through now with those we love that, you know, they just... I think about my neighbor ladies. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see ladies that I've known since I was a little boy and run through their yard and played, and they've been just as good to me as any mama, and now I see them and they can't remember my name. God, that breaks my heart. But I know one day I'll see them again when we get out of this life. And they'll know me, praise God. That's what the Bible says. Paul said, then shall I be known, even as also I'm known. And one day there'll be a reunion where there's no forgotten names. And they won't be sick, and they won't be feeble and hardly able to get up and down the road and all the things we know. Praise God, heaven's a perfect place. No dying, no death, no sin, no none of this stuff that so weights us down in this life. So Jesus told Peter and the disciples, he said, let not your heart be troubled. One of these days, all these things that kill us will just be gone. The Bible said the former things are passed away. It's a perfect place. And then, and I've already said a little bit here, but there's the personalities in heaven. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 3, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Will we know each other in heaven? I believe with all my heart. We'll know each other in heaven. Paul said, I'll be known as I am known. When Moses and Elijah came down on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter knew exactly who that was. Heaven is going to be a place where there's no strangers there. Heaven is good. You say, well, I'll just, you know, I want to be with my family too. I've got a little girl. I've got a little girl over there. I want to see her. I want to see her. Kim had two miscarriages, little babies we never seen, never laid eyes on. I'll see those children one of these days. Praise God. I'll see my grandparents. And I'll know them, and we'll have good fellowship together. But everybody's going to be your brother up there. Everybody's going to be your sister up there. Everybody is going to be in the same family, not these bloodlines. That's good. That's wonderful. But from one bloodline, that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll all be there by His blood. We all ought to be in hell, but we won't be in hell. We'll be in heaven forever and ever. We'll know each other and we'll fellowship, and there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more parting. There'll be none of this stuff no more. Praise God, we'll know each other in heaven. I like that. I like that. Most of all, it's the place where Jesus said, I'm going to come again, and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where's heaven at anywhere? Anyway, preacher, it's where Jesus is. It's where Jesus is. And the Word of God tells us He's going to come back and He will receive us unto Himself. And where He is, we will never be parted from Him anymore. We'll be with Him. And I'm not going to get all into, I believe there's a heaven now that's a temporary. But praise God, after Jesus comes, He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth and forever and ever and ever. But I'm telling you, whether through death or the rapture, praise God, we're going to go to be with Him. We'll never be separated again. Never be separated again. The Bible says that our life is, I mean, death is no respecter of persons. It could be, we don't know. Miss Eulalia was here last Sunday morning. Brother Millard, when he passed away, he was here one Sunday. The next Sunday, he'd gone to be with the Lord. Sister Jeannie was faithful here every service. She got sick and never came back. We don't know. We don't know who from our midst God may pluck. But I'll tell you one thing, if it's me, don't you cry for me. Don't you cry for me. We can cry for ourselves because we're left in this mess. But we ought not to cry for those that got to go to heaven. What's wrong with us? Praise God. There's nothing wrong with none of them no more. And they don't have to deal with the rest of this. They've run their race. They've gone on to be with the Lord. They're waiting on us. They'll be there when we get there. We don't have to worry about that. Don't cry for me. Let's not cry for those that are enjoying life. You think they'd come back if they could? No, I believe they'd say, hey, you know I love you, but I'll just wait on you. It'd be better for you to come where we are than for me to have to come back to that life. Good as it is sometimes, it's full of trouble. The Word of God says, the Bible says, our redemption draweth nigh. Surely we can see that the Lord will come soon. We've got something, some great incentive to live for. And that's heaven, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the possession of heaven. He said in verse number 3, he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I'm going there one day. If you're saved by the grace of God, you'll go there one day. But I'll close and I'll say this. There's the only possible way to heaven. And we find that in verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to heaven, and that's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He invites you to come. He wants you to come. But I'm telling you, there is no other way to get there apart from him. You say, oh, that's very narrow. Jesus was narrow. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty narrow. But the way's open, and anybody that wants to come can come. You can't go your way, but you're more than welcome to come his way. And that's the only way you'll ever get there. It's by and through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that died on Calvary for you and I, so that we could be saved, saved, gloriously saved, so we could sit here today and say, I can testify, if I draw my last breath, don't worry about me. Praise God, that's good testimony. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know heaven is my home. My wife was a lost church member. Going to church don't make you saved. Teaching Sunday school class don't make you saved. Praise God, she's sitting there in church and got under conviction once upon a time. And God dealt with her and dealt with her. And on that morning when we went to church, I could have drove 100 miles an hour and she wouldn't have said a thing. Say, why didn't you get saved at home? I don't know, and she don't know. But I'm glad she got saved when she got saved. Went to church and she got saved. She just felt like she had to get to church, and she did. But I'm telling you, the question's not, are you go to church? It's have you been saved? Bind through the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is a real place. And so he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. All that we could think about heaven more than we do. Live for heaven more than we do. Long for heaven more than we do. It's a real place. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to go there one day. Praise the Lord.
Like John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I appreciate your good attention. I really